What happens when you seem to be rejected from your calling, where you are certain God took you on a certain path, and yet then it leads to a dead end? That's part of my story today, and yet there are no dead ends in the gospel and the good news. And so I would like to encourage you to listen in. Colin Cook here, and how it happens. Thanks for joining me today. You're listening to Good News. You're listening to the good news in all the turmoil of life. I'm sharing it through my story for a few weeks. Then I'll be resuming with a new series in the book of Romans. And I'm glad you're joining me today. I'm sharing this story not because it's a success story, but because it's a story about the success of Jesus, who is able to intervene in all our defeats and disappointments and sorrows and griefs and bring his grace to us. So thanks for listening, and listen in further, will you? I was staggered that my church in England, the church headquarters, had laid me off the ministry. I mean, I had spent 4 years in study, and 2 years before that taking the GED, because I had left school at 15 and didn't have my high school diploma, so I had to go to get that in order to go to college and be in college. 4 years in college, 4 years in the ministry, 2 years before those two segments of time, 10 years altogether. And then it all came to nothing. I could not believe it. I could not accept it. I believed that God must surely be guiding and leading. What was the meaning of this? I went to the president of the conference, actually the union president, and I said, I gave him the reasons why he should not lay me off. They explained that I was young and that I was single, that I would have a good chance somewhere else. But one did drop the word that I was a bit controversial. I'm not quite sure what he meant then, because I didn't have the controversy ready yet that has really marked my ministry. But I suppose it was all about wanting to develop a youth club in my church, in the church there where I was an intern, at the church. A pastor at the time said, don't develop that youth club in the church, they'll ruin the basement. 120 youth. But I went ahead anyway, and he found that rather rebellious, and so that may have been a part of it. But I'll tell you, it made me double down into the scriptures and say, can anything happen without God's permission? The verse that first came to me was Psalm 75. Not from the east comes lifting up, nor from the west, nor from the desert land. But it is God who exercises judgment, putting down one and lifting up another. Somehow I had a faith that said to me this wasn't a judgment, even though I felt very worthy of judgment, but that God was moving me into a wider space, a deeper blessing. I had no idea how or where. What I do know, and what I can tell you, is that that study, the first verse coming to me from Psalm 75, let me read it to you from another translation. This is, mind you, only the Revised King James, so it may not be all that much different, but I'd rather quote it carefully to you. Psalm 75, for exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. This was the beginning of many, many verses, hundreds of verses that I gathered over time that revealed to me God's sovereignty. I didn't see its connection with the atoning sacrifice of Christ and how Christ's victory over the forces of evil led to God's sovereignty yet, but I began to see pieces coming together of this great jigsaw puzzle. Somebody said to me recently in an email, a friend, he said, you know, God is like a master chess player. And we move around on that chessboard, and we have to lose, really, in order for God to win checkmate. Checkmate, you know, means the king is dead. And I believe it's an Arabic word. And the king is dead, I think, means that Jesus died and therefore we win. But anyway, it's a wonderful truth that God's sovereignty is directly linked with the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. But I began to gather all these verses together, and finally I put them, and I'm jumping ahead of my story a minute, I included them in my thesis, my MA thesis, on the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. It was a very moving experience to conclude that God had chosen to move me out of England. I concluded from that verse and many others that I gradually began to gather together that Satan could not lift a little finger without permission from God. Yes, certainly Satan didn't want me in the ministry, but God was in charge of all of Satan's actions. He could do nothing without permission from God. But it was a terribly difficult time. I felt alone. I felt isolated. I didn't know what to do. But I had an idea. You see, when I was in the ministry, the conference that I worked for kept calling us back to Newbold College every summer to do a quarter each summer towards an MA degree. The MA degree came through Andrews University in Berrien Springs, Michigan. Newbold College, in effect, became a campus for Andrews University. And so I had already done three quarters, and the possibility now was that I could go to the United States, Andrews University in Berrien Springs, Michigan, to complete my MA degree and hopefully possibly get a call there. But I had no money to go, so what did I do? I went back to my canvassing again, my colporteur work. I went to Sweden and to Norway. Well, it was Sweden all this at this particular time. I went to Sweden to sell books again, to be able to get money to go to the United States. In addition, I sold an old car, although that's a story in itself, but I won't spend time telling you. But quite a miracle happened there, where my old Lemon, the car that I had, I sent it back. I got money back for it. A thing that was never done for a second-hand car in Birmingham, England, where I was ministering at that time. And I got money from there, money from my selling of books. And that, by the way, is where I sold the book that was then forwarded to the King of Sweden. And that money, along with the money, the other monies, enabled me to come to Andrews University. I had traveled prior to this in Europe, on the continent, to many different countries. I'd been to Ireland. I'd been to Norway and Denmark and Sweden and the Netherlands and to France and Germany and Italy and a number of other countries in Europe. But that seemed small fry by comparison with the thought of coming to America, which was so, so far away, or seemed so far away. When I left England and came to the United States, I remember in 1971 this was, and I was 31 years of age, I felt extremely alone. Remember that the homosexual background, at least in my experience, led me to feel disconnected, not bonded with anyone, holding a secret that could not allow me to tell anyone. But in addition to that, the homosexual dynamic, in my opinion, has to do with a failure to bond. And so the isolation was increased by this vast journey over the pond, as we sometimes say in England, from London to New York. I remember that loneliness. I'll never forget it. And yet I sensed as well that God was with me. I left England in contradistinction to what I'd talked to my, to how I'd spoken to my friends. I'd said, don't leave England. Let's stay here and let's build the mission, the message of the of Christ here. But those circumstances were so unexpected, so unusual, that I had to go. And so, through an act not of my own, but under the providence of God, he put me down in the ministry in England to give it in America, to create it and produce it in America. And it was in the United States, at Andrews University, in Berrien Springs, Michigan, that I heard something that tingled my ears, as the scriptures might say, that opened doors of understanding to the gospel and to faith that were completely closed to me before that, that gave me hope in my despair, that gave me freedom from guilt in all my shame, that brought to me light in my darkness, a thing I never expected, a complete swivel around, a complete 180-degree turn of faith. It all happened when I went to a class at Andrews University on the Book of Romans by Dr. Hans Larondel. Hans Larondel was a Dutchman, spoke quite fluent English with a Dutch accent. He had his doctorate in theology, and people were buzzing about his class. Someone said to me, are you going to his class on Romans? And I said, oh, no, it's not part of my course. But they said, oh, you've got to go. So I took it as an elective. And I'll tell you, that class was full to the brim. It probably broke the fire codes because there were people sitting in the aisles and standing in the aisles. There was not a seat left. Everybody rushed to that class early in order to get a seat. And Dr. Larondel was a preacher teacher, not just a flat, boring teacher, but a preacher teacher, not just a preacher, but someone who taught. And he taught me things that I dare hardly believe. Sometime next week, KLT head offices will be drawing on my check that I sent a few days ago. And you see how I live by faith and on the edge all the time. It's a miracle that this broadcast has gone on for 17 years, because I've never had any money for it, really. And it's all because of God and you. More accurately, it's all because of God inspiring and working through you to keep this broadcast on the air. I wonder if you would keep doing that right now, would you? The radio rent is about 870 odd this month, and I'm asking for your support because I don't have enough to cover that check. Would you send something immediately or tomorrow or before the weekend so that it can get there to cover the check by next week? I'd appreciate it so much. If you can send the whole amount, wonderful. If you can send just $100 for it, and eight of you do that, that would be great. If you can send half of it, that would be wonderful, or a quarter. Send your donation to Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado, 80160. Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado, 80160. You can also take care of it, if you like, by PayPal. Go to our website, faithquestradio.com. You can hear the broadcasts any time of the day or night there, faithquestradio.com. Thank you very much for your support, my friends. These donations are tax deductible. I'll send you a receipt in January for them. So think of that if that's what you need. And so I'll see you next time. Cheerio and God bless.